From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we are joined, as always, by Jamie Jors and John Rahor from Eat More Cheese, our fan blog here at Cheesehead TV, along with the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Joining us later tonight to talk everything Packers and NFL football is the host of ESPN's NFL Live, Mr. Trey Wingo. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Back to his MVP form.
Randall Cobb.
Ascending.
Casey the Rookie Hayward.
Ascending.
And we got the bad. We got TJ Lang.
Brutal game.
AJ Hawk.
Not his finest hour in 2012.
Marshall Newhouse.
Struggling with speed off the edge.
And we got the ugly Mason Crosby's knuckleball kick.
Can we please stop putting our faith in Mason Crosby for kicks over 50 yards? I think we've dispelled that rumor enough.
I think faith has been...
faith has been shaken.
Yeah, shattered.
Can you imagine, end of the year, season on the line, It's Mason Crosby from 52 yards.
Let's not talk about it.
I'm just saying. How confident would you be at that point, Corey Banky?
I wouldn't have any confidence, and neither would Jersey L.
Very true. Very true. We'll be talking about Jersey L a little later in the show.
Yep.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you on board.
Another Packer win.
We're stacking successes, as Mike likes to say. We don't necessarily do that here on this show,
But
it's always good to have the Packers doing it on the football field. So, Corey, back-to-back wins. Feeling pretty good to be a Packers fan. Offense is back in the groove.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers is definitely back to the form we saw in 2011.
Yep.
Even with all the injuries, and there are plenty, and we will get to those in a second, but even with all of the injuries that the Packers are facing and dealing with, you still have to think they should beat the Jaguars this weekend by at least 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you people who come here regularly, all four of you, you know I am not prone to statements of this nature. But that is how wide the talent gap is between the Green Bay Packers and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
30 points at least.
I wonder what Brian,
even with all the injuries.
I wonder what Brian Caravu has to say about that.
Why? I'm
just wondering.
Is he saying it's going to be like a three-point game?
I don't know.
Although, I will say, I did a whole video with Andrew Garda, Bleacher Report, this week, about how I'm really nervous about this game because this is traditionally Mike McCarthy's time where his team plays down to the level of his, the opposition's level.
Yeah.
And that's always concerning.
I don't know. There's a lot of people who have a lot to prove on this team.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So
that's
I don't know.
Plenty.
Plenty to prove.
Plenty of people have proven it. One of them being Mr. Charles Woodson, who is now out for 6 weeks, up to 6 weeks, we should say. Mike Freeman of CBS Sports reporting that a source close to Woodson feels it would be much closer to 3 or 4 weeks, depending on how he heals, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Now, 2 years ago, this would have been a massive blow. Last year, it would have been disconcerting, still a very big problem. This year, I don't think there's that big a deal. And I know it sounds blasphemous to say that losing Charles Woodson
I hear you.
won't you know, won't matter. Mm-hmm. And of course it matters from a leadership standpoint, and more than anything else, it matters from a physicality standpoint, because you could always count on Chuck to stick his nose in there, mm-hmm. try and tackle somebody, try and tomahawk the ball out. But let's face facts. I wrote it right after the game.
And DFR.
He obviously injured himself late in the fourth quarter against the Rams, and I wrote in my gut reactions that Charles Woodson has been invisible this year. And I don't think you can dispute that. I think you haven't seen any of the big plays we've been accustomed to. You haven't seen him getting home to at the quarterback. His blitz is always picked up. He's not getting off blocks. He's pursuing on the backside when the run's going away from him. You see him pursue down the line. But he's not fast enough to get to the ball carrier anymore. And as has been evident for the last couple years, he's not great at covering guys one-on-one anymore.
Yeah.
So now, all of that said.
That was a long list.
All of that said, you will miss him in the secondary as far as like getting guys lined up and getting in the right spot. Although Morgan Burnett's been taking more and more of that responsibility as the year's gone on.
Ascending.
And as Packers.com so helpfully showed us this afternoon, they had three videos all lined up. And the title for each video, this is what they were. They had a video interview of Dom Capers. The title was, quote, "Guys will have to step up." And then the next video was, quote, "Mike McCarthy says team will have to step up." Next video was Morgan Burnett. Burnett, : "Guys will just have to step up." So, ladies
Aaron
and gentlemen.
Aaron Nagler.
"Guys will have to step up." So, I think we've cracked the code here on how the Packers plan on dealing with the loss of Charles Woodson. Mm-hmm. I think they're planning on having some gentlemen step up.
I think there's one word that defines the Packers right now.
What's that?
Ascendant.
I like that. You have to think that they're ready to go on a bit of a run here. I mean,
ascendancy.
You don't want to get ahead of yourself.
I'm not ahead. I'm ascendant. That's right.
I wasn't saying you were ahead. I said I don't want our viewers and listeners to get ahead.
I hear you.
I mean,
I wasn't.
They come here to watch you, for you to impart your Packer wisdom upon them. So I know you know.
There's no Packer wisdom.
Well, there's Packer passion, and that's what counts, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I got plenty of that.
All right. Speaking of passion and plenty of it and injuries, you like that segue? Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings sees a specialist, reported by Jason Wilde late last evening. According to an NFL source, Jennings went to get a second opinion on his groin injury that has kept him out for over a month. Mike McCarthy confirming that today in his press conference. You got to be a little concerned at this point. Greg Jennings, this has been nagging. He tried to come back a little early and flared up again in the Saints game, and we haven't seen him since. Yeah, it's a bit disconcerting having Jennings out this long, and now he's most certainly not going to play this weekend, and who knows how much longer. And real quickly, I just did want to touch on this because I got a lot of questions on Twitter about it when the news was kind of circulating this morning. No, Greg Jennings is not calling his agent and saying, hey, get whatever deal you can get from the Packers right now. That's not going on. What's going to happen is Jennings is going to stay out until he feels he's 100%. He's going to come back on the field. He's going to give it his all. And then he's going to go hit free agency and make a ton of money. I mean, maybe the Packers franchise him, but the Packers aren't going to pay him what he thinks he's worth. The only way the Packers – there's two ways he remains a Packer, either the franchise tag or he hits the market and doesn't find what he's looking for. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going to happen. Greg Jennings is going to – if Pierre Garçon and Josh Morgan can get the money they got this past summer, Greg Jennings is going to get paid.
He's definitely going to get paid.
Yeah. So, yeah. No,
I don't know, though. The Packers have a lot of injuries this year.
Yeah, they do, but that's why they have a lot of receivers.
Yeah, but there is a point in which you have so many injuries that you have no one.
Well, yeah.
Then you got to see what Greg Jennings is worth.
Well, yeah, but
a lot.
That's in the offseason.
A lot.
At that point, the season's already
coming. Let's not forget. Greg Jennings is worth money. I agree with you.
I totally agree.
But
But is he worth paying and not retaining the services of one B.J. Raji or Clay Matthews or Aaron Rodgers or any other long list of guys that you'd like to see the Packers keep?
I'm like Mitt Romney. I think you can have an army and then tax.
No!
Oh, sorry.
More politics.
That just sounded like it, though. You were like, oh, you got to make sacrifices. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
But, okay.
When you put it
so,
that way.
So, yeah. Jennings, that thing will play out. He will come back eventually, and he will play at a high level. But I don't see this leading to him giving the Packers a hometown discount because he's nervous about his contract situation. There's a bevy of injuries we should just touch on real quick, because two more new injuries were added to the injury report today. Jordy Nelson ended up with a hamstring injury at practice, much
it's
like DJ Williams last week.
Two weeks ago. It's very depressing.
Donald Driver was added with a neck injury. Mm. John Kuhn was added with a hamstring injury.
Man.
Both Kuhn and Driver did not practice. Nelson was limited. I mean, it's just depressing. Okay, here's the list of the people that did not participate today. Greg Jennings, B.J. Raji, Donald Driver, Nick Perry, Sam Shields, John Kuhn, and Charles Woodson. No participation today. And McCarthy said it's definitely sounding like Shields and Perry will not be ready for Sunday. Now, here the limited people were on the injury report but were limited. Exactly. T.J. Lang, D.J. Williams, Jermichael Finley, Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers with his calf injury, and Jeff Saturday. Yeah. Aaron, I hear you, dude, but I'm just telling you what the injury situation is. It is plentiful.
Killing me, Nagley.
Now,
killing my buzz.
Remember this. Remember what I said at the top of this show. Even after all that, the Packers should win by 30 on Sunday. Mark it zero.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Mark it zero.
That's what I want to hear.
All right. In other ex-Packers news that kind of relates back to the Packers because I got asked about it incessantly, Ryan Grant was cut by the Washington Redskins. And no, you can stop emailing. You can stop tweeting at me. The Packers are not picking him up. I know everyone loves Ryan Grant. He's a great guy. But that ship has sailed. How did Mark Murphy say it? We've crossed the Rubicon. Done. Game over. Ryan Grant's not going to be a Packer anymore. If for no other reason that he doesn't play special teams. They're not bringing him back. He's you know, Alex Green is more talented. I know people want to rip on Green. Give the kid a break. He needs a hole to run through.
Yeah.
I mean, all day on Sunday,
I wouldn't rip through him at all.
He was two steps out of the backfield, and he was getting hit, usually by Michael Brockers, who completely dominated T.J. Lang and, to some extent, Jeff Saturday in that game. Hmm. So, you know, I'm not – the whole Ryan Grant should come back thing just needs to slow down in a big way. I mean, talking about the offense
– is Ryan Grant coming back?
I will end you, Benji. I will end you. Talking about the offense, as I was just saying, the offensive line needs to step up in the run game. They kind of got it going against the Texans, and then they got nothing going against the Rams. But you got to stick with it. Why run when you can win?
Why run when you can win?
I love the fact that it started, I think it was Wes with the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now, like, Adam Schefter's in on it. Like, everybody keeps, Trey Wingo, our guest later tonight.
In on what?
In on this tweeting about how long it's been since the Packers had a 100-yard rusher in a game.
Why does that matter?
It doesn't! Thank you. I just always reply with the hashtag, why run when you can win? And it's like, oh, they haven't done it in something like 38 games or something like that. And in that time,
they've won a Super Bowl,
and they went 15-1 in the regular season. So let's all just relax. Okay?
Yeah. Let's do things traditionally and
you,
be the Browns.
You know who runs a traditional offense and
the
who's
Browns.
Had several 100-yard rushers
the
in
Browns.
That span? The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, yeah, the Jaguars.
Who are in line for the number one overall pick. So by all means, if running for 100 yards in one game with one guy is important to you, go ahead. you're on your way to securing the first overall pick. All right, that's an exaggeration. But I'm just saying, one of our favorite phrases here on Packer Transplants, injuries, the injuries. Everybody's talking about the injuries, especially on offense. I get it. Like I said, they should still win by 30, although it will probably limit what Mike McCarthy is able to do on offense on Sunday. You got to think, you know,
but knowing
he's
McCarthy,
mixing and matching.
Knowing McCarthy, he won't act like it.
Right. He'll keep.
Oh.
I'm just going to split out Marshall Newhouse.
Yeah, five
as a tackle
wide.
Eligible.
Five wide.
I need another pass catcher. Hey, you, Ryan Taylor, go be a wide receiver. But so it may limit a little bit. But what about the job Randall Cobb has done?
Mm.
I think. Was that Rams game kind of his coming out party?
Yeah.
I mean, he two touchdowns?
What's bigger? Randall Cobb ascendancy.
Okay.
Hayward ascendancy.
That's a good question, my friend. Hey, you. You're good, you. I don't know. That's
I don't know
question.
How to answer that.
I think I want to say Casey Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say just because, you know, he's tied for the league lead in interceptions, and now you've got Woodson down. You're going to need to step up in the secondary.
And you have Tremont.
But then you flip it, and the case can be made that, you know, Jennings has been down. Obviously, James Jones is having a career year. Jordy Nelson is finally back to being the Jordy we remember from 2011. Now, is it because of those two things, like that attention is being drawn to them,
mm-hmm.
that Randall Cobb has been free over the middle on the slant play and stuff like that?
I think it's just maturing Cobb. I mean, I think that's why they took that guy. They knew they had that guy.
It's true. It's true.
They thought they did.
What's interesting is today, Jermichael Finley in the locker room questioned why teams were still double-teaming him. He said, teams are still double-teaming him. This is interesting. I have to admit, I have not watched the coach's tape.
I was about to say, what does the tape say?
From Sunday. Haven't had a chance to yet. It just came out today. So when I do, I'm now going to pay special attention to Mr. Finley's routes and see just how often he is double-teamed. Because you have noticed the last 2 weeks how quiet Finley has been by way of minimal involvement in the offense. Now, to be fair, he has a shoulder injury. I know he's said today he's at like 85%, but you know, because the argument has always been that Finley draws coverage, the safety's always accounting for him in the route tree. It'll be interesting to see.
Clay Matthews and Tremont Williams are the only two people not injured on the Packers right now.
Pretty much. That's kind of how it feels.
It kind of feels that way.
Speaking of the defense, can I address the camera here?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you something. Now, GIF this or record it. You have a DVR feature on the new live stream, so get ready. You can pull this for later embarrassment and or praise. The defense will be better without Charles Woodson.
I turned your mic off.
That was my drop mic moment.
All right.
What do you think of that?
I guess I can turn it back on.
What do you think of that?
I liked it.
As I take a sip.
I liked it. It made me happy.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to hear things like that. I don't like to hear from Brian Caravu that we're going to lose. That doesn't make me happy.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just calling it like I see it. The defense will improve / get better with Charles Woodson on the sideline.
What do they say on the chat?
There was a gasp, an audible gasp by text.
Gotcha.
And then nobody believes me. But it's all right. Except for Jersey Al. Jersey Al's got my
I love
back.
How you always blame me for skipping, and you literally, like, just skipped ahead.
No, I didn't. I'm still right here. Right here. Okay, we went offensive line. See? You can't even read a script. Offensive line, injuries limiting what McCarthy can do, Randall Cobb ascending, Finley suddenly the forgotten man. Mark it down. Defense will improve without Woodson.
Oh.
Man, I'm right on freaking schedule.
I guess I was missing the part in the script where it says Aaron goes off on a tantrum. So, sorry.
Oh, is that what we're doing? We're keeping track of tangents now. Okay. All right. We need a scoreboard up here or
there
something.
You go.
Good Lord. Hey, I like this. Look at that. Oh, where is it? Oh, there. Oh, look at that.
Cheesehead TV.
Cheesehead TV in the background.
You like that, that little
Nothing wrong
detail.
With that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So why don't you lead us through the next part since you're so concerned about staying on script?
No, I mean, Casey Hayward.
Yeah.
Devon House.
Yes.
Will play well against
the
Jaguars.
And let me tell you, not only will they play well, I think it's only a matter of time before Devon House is starting. I know people are all up on Casey Hayward, and he has played well, but Devon House, in the limited snaps that he had against St. Louis, he looked great. He was right next to his man on nearly every play, even on the plays where the ball is completed. He's right there. Didn't matter what kind of route it was. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out as the year goes along, because I'm telling you, House looks like the real deal. I mean, Hayward, I can still see some up and downs, but with House, he was glued to whoever they gave him. So, now, the caveat, of course, is that the Rams wide receivers are terrible, but it was a great start. It was a great start. I don't know. Another great start.
I was excited about it.
Another great start was Brad Jones getting his first start at the
Brad
inside
Jones
linebacker
back.
Position. Hey, friend of show.
Yeah.
Who will never come on again since he got placed on IR the day after he appeared, but friend of show, got his first start at inside linebacker and acquitted himself admirably. I thought he's got to get tougher at the point of attack. Just even that, like, forget all that. Just he just needs to tackle better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way too many diving arms falling off the guy, slipping off the ball carrier type tackles.
Mm.
But overall, he seemed assignment sure and he flowed the football well. He had the pursuit angles down well. I was impressed. I really expected it to be a lot worse. Now, will that change when they face a better offensive team that is able to exploit the middle a little more? That remains to be seen.
We'll see.
That will be interesting.
Defense is still ascending.
And speaking of ascending, whose play has gotten progressively better as the year has gone on?
Ryan Pickett.
That is correct. You read the script. Well done. Ryan Pickett was a concern early on in the year. I'll say it. He was a concern, at least of mine, early on in the year. From camp, through the first couple weeks of the season. But he has, I don't know what it is, kind of rounded into shape, I guess we'll say. And it's just in time because it's coincided with B.J. Raji being out.
Yeah,
Pickett is playing so well.
When we exactly need him to play well.
When we need him to. And it's. I just pointed out, I don't have anything profound to say about it. It's just, it's so nice to give Big Grease a little love because, defensive tackles, big aging veteran defensive tackles who aren't Haloti Ngata or Vince Wilfork and get lots of flashy, sacks and big plays. He's not a big play guy. He's a mutter. He's a, lunch pail, just down and dirty work kind of guy. I love Ryan Pickett. I'm so happy to see him playing well and helping out the defense. Now we've been through all our scripted points, Corey Behnke. let's go to break, and when we come back, we will talk to Mr. Trey Wingo from ESPN's NFL Live, so stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with the host of NFL Live on ESPN, Mr. Trey Wingo. Trey, are you there? Is our technology working this time?
Technology is working. How
Look
are
at
you?
That! Hey! Thanks so much for coming on. I know last time you were here, you were fantastic. We were less than stellar. It's really nice of you to give us another chance. Because
I'm pretty sure I shoot for mediocre most days, so the fact that you think I was stellar was great.
You were stellar. Just knock it off. Okay, so we've obviously got a lot to cover here because a lot has happened since the last time we talked to you, but we're going to start, obviously this is a Packers show, we're going to start with the Green Bay Packers, start with where they are right now. To your eyes, and you obviously have watched a whole heck of a lot of football in your life, to your eyes, is Aaron Rodgers back to where he was in 2011?
Well, he certainly is over the last two games. I don't have to tell you this, 9 touchdowns, 680-something yards, and no interceptions. The amazing thing is, he's doing this without his best receiver, I think, which is Greg Jennings. And they found a way to sort of get over that. And obviously, Jordy Nelson has been terrific the last couple of games. But to me, The throw he made to Randall Cobb on the move last Sunday in St. Louis, running to his left, throwing back across his body, you just can't do it any better than that. I mean, that if you don't appreciate that for the artistry of how the quarterback position is played, then you really probably shouldn't be watching. that was as good a play. I would venture to guess that all of the 31 starting quarterbacks in the NFL would watch that play, and they would say, I wish I could make that throw. It was phenomenal.
Absolutely. Especially since there's a guy underneath Cobb on the play. I mean, he has to put it in just the right spot.
It was not one-on-one coverage. You know, they had there was a safety over the top, and they had the corner trailing, and he freaking nailed it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. What do you think the impact will be with the injury to Charles Woodson? We have just opined that – I mean, I'm pretty strongly of the opinion that it won't matter much at all, but I'm interested to hear your take.
What now? Just curious, why do you think it won't matter much at all?
Because he's been invisible for 2012. I know he brings a wealth of experience. I know he's one of their more physical players. But overall, he has certainly lost the proverbial step.
Well, certainly he's not the player he was 2 years ago, or even, you know, maybe even last year. But I, you know, to me, the loss of him is similar to the loss of Ray Lewis in Baltimore, not only on the playing field, but also on the emotional level. I mean, Ray Lewis is the you know, inspirational barometer, for lack of a better term, for the Baltimore Ravens. And Charles Woodson, in many ways, is that guy for the Green Bay Packers. He's so versatile. And he gets them going. As you well know, Aaron, it was his speech at the Super Bowl 2 years ago at halftime when he broke his collarbone that really rallied the troops and got them to finish the deal. So you could certainly make the case that he's not making the plays that he has in years past, but his presence not being there, I think, will be a significant loss for Green Bay.
Where I struggle with that is if – Well, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but it's
it's your show. Tangent
I know,
away.
I know, right? But it's to me, it seems that if it were a case of he's just not making plays, but he's still around the ball, he's still kind of the ball hawk we're used to, if he was still like in the mix, but he's just not there. He's blocked on every time they send him after the quarterback, he's picked up. He doesn't get off blocks. He can't cover anymore. I mean, the guy cannot cover. So while I appreciate the idea that he is, yes, their leader, I think he can lead, and Donald Driver spoke to this today, he can lead in the meeting rooms, on the sideline, and I don't think he's the fiery, emotional, dancing during the intro kind of guy that Ray Lewis is.
No, he's not at all. You know, but I think that his way of leading is different than Ray's way of leading, and I think that certainly the Packers have fed off that. Now, look, we won't find out this Sunday. Let's be honest. It's Jacksonville. They don't have. They may not have Blaine Gabbert. They're not going to have Maurice Jones-Drew. It just doesn't matter. Right. But we'll find out 2 or 3 weeks into this whether or not it matters.
Yeah, that I agree with wholeheartedly. Going back over to the offensive side, and actually to the coaching side, part of the equation, what are your thoughts on the job Mike McCarthy has done so far this year? I mean, the Packers certainly didn't look like the Packers that anybody, I think, was expecting the first month of the season. And now he seems to have kind of righted the ship, kind of his MO, you know, backs against the wall. Everyone's counting him out. They go into Houston, they blow the doors off the Texans. What do you think about the job McCarthy's done so far this year?
Well, I think that is the definition of the job he's done so far, because I don't think anybody expected – I mean, if you looked at their schedule, first of all, it was a very difficult schedule to start the season. You know, I think that a lot of people were jumping off the ship early, but then you look at the teams that they played, and they were no rollovers. I mean, San Francisco's no joke, Chicago's no joke, and they beat them. The Seattle game was what it was and will forever – be a calling card to this season, and hopefully it won't come back to haunt Green Bay. Although, you know, a loss in conference outside your division sometimes can be a brutal tiebreaker when push comes to shove. But I think that the fact that they are rolling now, and I fully expect them to just blast, you know, the Jaguars this Sunday.
Yep.
I think that is a testament to McCarthy staying the course, keeping this team grounded, and sort of getting them going. I don't think anybody expected Aaron to struggle. And look, let's be honest. I mean, the defense has played pretty well. The defense is significantly better than it was a year ago when they were abysmal.
Yep.
And so the defense has really stepped up their game, and it's been the offense that has really struggled this year for Green Bay outside of the last two games. Well, when that offense was struggling, you know, Mike McCarthy didn't try and change everything. He tried to keep things going on a steady pace. And eventually they found a way to make plays without Greg Jennings. And I think that's been the biggest thing. They found a way to transition the offense away from having Greg Jennings as the go-to receiver for Aaron. And also the fact that the guy they brought in to be their running back and give more balance is now out in Cedric Benson. And I think the fact that they have been able to do what they've done in Houston, which was a very difficult place to play, obviously, and in St. Louis, where the Rams had been 3-0 on the season, I think is a testament to McCarthy's job of being a stable, a steadying force so far this year for Green Bay.
You alluded to it just a little while ago, so I do want to talk a little bit about the fail Mary. I mean, I know Packer fans kind of want to forget about it.
I'd love to talk about that. I'm just kidding.
But
I would.
I just wanted to bring it up because you cover the league and you have for a long time, and obviously that was a very, you could say, historical situation, but it was a very horrible situation for the league.
Hysterical might be a better word.
Yeah, and there's that as well. But something that I noticed during the whole replacement ref fiasco, and I wanted to tip my hat slash ask you about, is that ESPN was the one place that was unvarnished in their look at the replacement refs.
Yeah.
Like, no one held back. From week one, from the preseason, really. I mean, you had Tirico calling them out every week. You were very honest in your show. Steve Young famously said his stuff after Monday Night Football. Was there a directive at some point by anyone up top saying, you know, don't hold back? Because it was so blazingly obvious.
Well, no, because I think it was so blazingly obvious. I mean,
you wouldn't know that looking at the other networks.
Well, that's their choice and the choice they're making. I mean, we had right in the middle of the preseason, we had Roger Goodell and Carl Johnson and a bunch of NFL executives up for their yearly, meeting here at Bristol. And I asked him point blank, how long do you think you can get away with this? And Roger said, well, we've done this before. And I said, yeah, but that's not the same as now. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, look. You know, when this happened in, 2001, I think they played two or three games.
It was like three games in the preseason. Yeah.
There was no blogosphere. Right. There was no Twitter.
Yep.
There was no internet uprising. People still read newspapers, I mean, it's a different dynamic now, and it's an immediate reaction. And for anyone to suggest that the Green Bay-Seattle game wasn't the reason the thing was settled would be just horrifically stupid.
Or a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good job, counselor.
Yes.
The idea that the NFL was embarrassed by that, and they were the national news for letting that happen, that's why it changed. And I think that everyone at our place felt very strongly about, obviously no one goes to see, to quote you, Aaron, Jeff Triplett make phone calls or make calls of games.
Yeah.
The bottom line is those guys were there for a reason. They were the best available, and they may not always get it right, as we've seen already with them being back, but at least there's respect for them from the coaches and the players that they know this is the best option we have.
Yeah.
And that is not the case. And the NFL tried to sell us a bill of goods where they were saying, well, we've trained guys in 4 months to get ready for this, when you had to have 10 years at a major college level to even be considered to be an official in the NFL. That's absurd. And I think the fact that it took 3 weeks or 4 weeks really was a testament to how well some of these replacement guys did.
Yeah.
But all it took was one fiasco, and you knew it was going to get changed, and that's exactly what happened. There was no directive from anyone at our place to do anything but analyze the games as we see them, and I think we all felt very comfortable that we were able to do that.
Well, you guys told the truth, that's for darn sure. Speaking of the truth, kind of drawing back and looking at the NFL as a whole, I mean, the kind of, I guess, headline this year so far has been the NFC is going to run away with whatever happens at the end of the year because the AFC can't get out of its own way. How do you see kind of the power structure in the NFL right now? I mean, I guess the thinking is now it's like Houston and everybody else in the AFC. I'm not sure I buy that, but how do you see it?
Well, look, there are seven teams with winning records in the NFC and three in the AFC, and only one of them, or only two of them, are, you know, at least two games over 500, mm-hmm. and that would be the Texans and the Falcons, who they just smoked. Look, the Falcons would be different, obviously, if they didn't lose everybody, and they haven't had so many injuries. But clearly, the depth of the NFC is significantly better than the AFC right now. That being said, I'm still not sure if I don't think the Texans are the most complete team in football from top to bottom, from, you know, first man in to last man in. I think they still might be number one. And that's really all that matters when it's all said and done. But it's clear that the NFC has more talented teams right now than the AFC. And I can't remember the number. We actually ran it this week. But statistically, you know, three winning teams in the AFC this late in the season, I think, I'd have to go back and look at the number, but I think the number we came up with, it's the fewest since the merger, AFL-NFL of 1970, that you've had one conference with only three teams with a winning record seven games into the season. So clearly, you know, there is a huge a differentiation between the quality of teams top to bottom in the NFC as opposed to the AFC right now.
Speaking of the NFC, specifically the NFC North, we saw Chicago beaten up on the Lions, though that game should have been a lot, more disparate in the score than it ended up being. But how do you see the NFC North shaking out? I mean, obviously we've got a long way to go yet, but, I mean, Chicago is 5-1, and the Vikings are sitting there at 5-2, and the Packers are looking up at them. Do we expect that kind of to hold and to go down right to the wire, or how do you think it plays out?
Well, I think it will. And look, the fact that the Packers had that win at home will be huge down the stretch. You know, they had to have that game, and they did have that game, and that was a very significant early season game for them. The thing about Chicago, which scares me, and we actually did this on NFL Live on Tuesday after the Monday night game. You know, I think they're seventh or eighth in offense, or eighth in scoring points, in total points. But if you take away the five defensive turnovers they've had that led to touchdowns, they have five pick sixes already. The first team in NFL history to have five pick sixes through the first five games played, and obviously they didn't get one Monday night. Well, they went from eighth in scoring to 17th. They're going to have to score. You're not going to win a ton of games 13-7 in the way the NFL is constructed right now, and the way the rules are enforced, and the way the offense is sort of dictating the way the games are being played. The issue for Chicago is going to be, can we consistently march up and down the field with all the weapons we brought in? Remember, all their spending in the offseason was on the offensive side of the ball. We really thought going into the season that the offense would be a better unit than the defense. And to the defense's credit, that has been the exact opposite.
Yeah.
But, you know, Marshall and Cutler, Michael Bush, Alshon Jeffrey, who's obviously injured now, they put a lot of money and a lot of their offseason plans into upgrading that offense. And it's simply not going the way they'd want it to go. That defense has been much better than I thought it would be. Peanut Tillman, good
unbelievable
Lord, put
up year.
Clinic Monday night.
Yeah.
And Urlacher made a few plays, which he has not made yet. The Vikings are interesting. You know, Christian Ponder went four games without throwing an interception, and he's thrown it two in three straight. Yeah. And they're not going to win a ton of games if that's going to be the recipe. Remember that game where they beat Detroit? They had a punt return and a kick return for a touchdown. That offense has also got to start percolating. Green Bay has the most talent, in my opinion. And I think that as long as the defense is fine, and they're middle of the pack, they're 14th right now, that offense is going to keep to get better. Statistical anomaly here. Right now, even as we speak, the Packers have the 14th best offense and the 14th best defense.
Wow.
So at least they're consistent as opposed to 1-32, you know, last year.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. And if that offense is going to be a top 10 offense by the time the season's over. And if that defense can stay around 14 or 15, I think the Packers are probably going to be the team to beat in the NFC North when it's all said and done, unless the Bears can find a way to routinely put up 24 points of offense in a game.
They're not going to find a way, Trey.
That's Corey's.
That's the guy wearing the fake shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Precisely.
Exactly.
Precisely.
Can't trust a word I say when it comes to the Packers.
Okay, Trey, you've been absolutely wonderful. You're a legend for joining us tonight. One last question before we let you go. You mentioned a little bit ago in that answer about the rules as they are in the NFL. I've gotten in a bit of heat, both from a bunch of people around the blogosphere and the Twitterverse, for my, over the top proclamations about the ridiculousness In regards to like the fine that Nick Perry got for his hit on Andrew Luck, it's just some other just ridiculous, you know, penalties that we're seeing in the NFL today. Can football survive its current state in the fact that I know it's number one in every single area, like whether you're talking about on television, they're still, you know, selling out games, so that's starting to wane a little bit because of the attraction of staying at home. Online, they crush, everything crushes. The fact that I have a job is a testament to that.
Yeah.
But can they continue on this road as currently constructed? And I know they've gone overboard because of the litigation hanging over them. But is this the way forward for the NFL?
Well, we'll find out is the only way I can answer that, honestly. All I know is that when it comes to, you know, watching television sports, it's not close. And you know, people always say, well, this concussion thing could be the end of the NFL. I don't believe that because the NFL doesn't just support itself. The NFL supports five television networks, okay? Mm-hmm. It supports ESPN. It supports the NFL Network and CBS, NBC, Fox, you know, all those guys have a vested interest in making sure this thing goes on. Sunday Night Football on NBC last year was the highest rated show in primetime. It wasn't the highest rated television sports show. It was the highest rated show.
Period.
Okay. Yep. It beat everything else that the network would put on from September to January. So it's not just in the NFL's interest for the NFL to survive. It's in a ton of people's interest for the NFL to survive. And look, the fact that, like, for example, after the Monday night game, we actually had a discussion about the Ndamukong Suh sack of Jay Cutler.
Which was awesome.
It was a great play.
Awesome.
Now,
great freaking
play. Yes, Ndamukong Suh has a rep, and yep, obviously yep, it's about protecting the quarterbacks. But if you can't pull a guy down and fall on him,
yeah,
then the whole thing should go away.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just go seven on seven at that point.
The fact that we had that discussion goes to your point.
Yeah.
But they're going to find a way to figure it out because there's too much at stake here. You know, HBO did that great documentary about the 2008 financial crisis, Too Big to Fail. And
yes,
at one point, William Hurt's character, who was the guy from Goldman Sachs, you know, who was head of commerce, or whatever.
Hank Paulson. I've met him several times.
Said, you want too big to fail? Gentleman. Here it is.
Here it is.
Yeah. Yep. AIG. You want too big to fail in terms of sports and television? It's the NFL. There's no way it's not going to fail. I mean, there's no way it's going to fail. It's too big to fail.
I like that. That means I can eat for a while and send my kids to school.
So, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Trey Wingo, host of ESPN's NFL
Trey
Live.
Trey Wingo.
Trey, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us tonight.
The man.
Anytime, and we got the camera thing working, which I'm really happy about.
Nice.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, Trey. Have a great night.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Trey Wingo. That's how we do it. Corey, what do you think
Nagler?
About that action?
Where are you going, Nagler?
I'm turning off Skype. What are you doing?
Oh, okay. Trey Wingo.
That's how we do it.
That was nice.
Rock and roll.
Stops the traffic.
Yeah. So, Banky, Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just going to turn this
around.
You're going
to turn that around? We called an audible with the video there.
I don't know why. That was good, though.
That was great.
He's right. He was like, that's the biggest lens. He had a big lens on him. He had a big 35-millimeter lens on that.
Like, he doesn't look at a monster television camera every day at work.
He looks at a seriously, he looks at a $150,000 camera
every day.
Every hour of
I look at a $400 camera every day.
Well, right now, you're looking at two $7,000 cameras. Come on, live stream.
Okay. Ooh. So, here we go. Prediction time.
Is it really that time?
No, it's time for something else, Corey. Tell me what time it is. Tell me what time it is. You don't know what time it is.
No, I don't.
Do you know what time it is?
You can't
even handle the truth right now. You're scrambling.
Is it time for this?
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. This week, we pay tribute to a man who may not be a blogger per se, but he has written for a Packers blog that you all read religiously, I know. JS Online's own Ty Dunn covered his last game as a member of the JS Online team, of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels team, when he went to St. Louis and covered the Packers' win over the Rams. He is now on his way. Well, he's not on his way. He's staying in Green Bay. But he's moving over to USA Today Sports. He's going to be based in the Midwest. We have had him on the show several times. You'll never meet a nicer guy.
Nope.
We just want to say,
great guy.
Fantastic work, Ty. Good luck in the future. This kid, I wrote it when he was on our show in a little introductory post on Cheese at TV. I said, rising star. Rising star in the industry.
It goes with the theme of the Packers.
Yeah. Ascendant.
That's right.
Is that what you said before?
That
is. With the hands like this. Ascendant.
I didn't use jazz hands.
Yeah, you did. You went like this. Ascendant.
No.
DVR it, ladies and gentlemen. DVR feature on the new live stream.
Live gift that.
Ascendant.
Somebody get that.
Anyway.
Send it, baby.
Ty Dunn.
Come on.
Ty Dunn, you will be missed. Your work, excellent as always. Corey, you got anything else to say?
Nope.
Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank our guest, ESPN's Trey Wingo. Not to mention everyone who joined us on the live blog. You guys are really the whole reason we do this. You help make this a unique fan experience that can't be found anywhere else on the internet. That's why Corey and I are here. We are, and all we always will be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week.
Can be used in any positive way whatsoever.
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.